Please turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and we come to verse 28. I'm going to do something a little different this evening. I'm not going to read the entire passage before I preach, but I feel like, because we've been working up to this. This is, young people, I said to you this morning in class, this is like the climax. This is the crescendo. Okay? This is what we've all been waiting for. You who are married know, waiting for that day of your wedding is, man, it seems like forever, isn't it? Well, we've been waiting for Isaac to have a wife, Rebecca. We saw a couple weeks ago that Abraham gave his servant instructions, and then we saw this search for a bride last sermon. And now we come to Isaac actually marrying her at the end of this passage. A lot of this passage, so it's hard to break it up. I can't really break it up in any more sections. And a lot of this passage is reviewing what's already happened. In God's good grace, the servant does that. And so remember what's happened. The servant has come to Abram's homeland. And by chance, the first woman he meets is who? Is Rebekah. And the Lord has given him success thus far. So remember verses 26 and 27 where we last left off. He worships. What's his response? He worships. Look there. The man bowed low and worshiped the Lord, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers." He gives praise and thanks to God for his guidance. And so really, the rest of this chapter can be broken up into four sections. Number one, you notice from your outline, and what I'm going to do is state the point, and then we'll read the sections so that we don't get lost in the flow. I think maybe the best way to do it. So, number one, Laban welcomes as the family's protector. Laban welcomes as the family's protector. Let's read verse 28 through 32. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now remember, the striking thing is she's been running. How many trips? Anyone remember? How many trips to water those camels? 200. Right? 20 camels. Each camel would drink about 10 gallons apiece. Her bowl probably held about a gallon, okay, counting the spillage. So about 200 trips back and forth. She's been running. She continues to run, and she goes and tells her family. Now Rebekah, verse 29, had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. This is a family like the Perrys. It's a running family. Everybody's running. To, not from. Verse 30, when he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "This is what the man said to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? Since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. You see a resemblance between Laban and his sister Rebekah? But we see, first of all, verse 28, that Rebekah is eager to tell her family. She's eager to tell her family about this potential marriage partner, man, that she has met. She doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but she's eager to tell her family. It seems like so often in our culture, Young people, you're eager to hide from your family. God has given you a family to bless you. And you ought to want to share these joys with them. It's for your own benefit. Verse 29 and 30, we see that Laban's eager to meet the man. He's eager to meet this man that Rebekah is so excited about meeting. And you see in verses 31 and 32, I think that Laban is really the gatekeeper for the family. I put in there, in your outline, protector, but the picture I think is that he's the gatekeeper, and by being the gatekeeper of the family, he protects the family. He has a very welcoming spirit. Don't think of a gatekeeper, he's trying to keep people out. And he has a very welcoming spirit. I mean, look at how eager he is to show hospitality to Abraham's servant and his men who are with him. Look at how much of a servant heart he has, just like Rebekah. Whoever takes after who, many times members of the family, brothers and sisters, take after one another, but we get a picture of their parents here, no doubt, Bethuel and his wife. But look at how eager he is to show hospitality. And this is a hospitality of faith. You see that in verse 31? Come in, blessed of the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah God. Bethuel, his father, remember it means godly man. This, it seems, was a family of faith. Why do you stand outside since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels? And Laban unloads the camels. He gives straw and feed to the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who are with him. Look at how much of a servant's heart he has. Young people, I'm sorry, I know I've been picking on you in this series, the last 25 sermons, but there's so many lessons here, aren't there? Your parents come to you and they say, hey, you want to help take so-and-so's coat as they've come to our house for dinner? And what do? Oh, no, not again. Why don't you do it, Dad? Why do your parents ask you to do that? To try to teach you to be a servant to others. You see, that's how God blesses this home. Is Rebekah's a servant, Laban's a servant, and no doubt taking after their parents. And God brings blessing to this home because of the character of their service. How eager they are to serve and show hospitality. I know it's a lost art today in our culture, but I know 7 times in the New Testament we're commanded to show hospitality. God blesses us through that. But the main principle I want to bring out in this section is that, remember, Laban is the gatekeeper here to his family. He welcomes Abraham's servant and his men, and he takes care of them, and he shows love to them, but he wants to know what's going on here. What's happened? Why? Because he cares about his sister. So I'm especially going to speak to you young men, or anyone here who was a brother. And I know several of you fulfill that role, whether in living in your parents' home or you're a brother, an adult brother, to your sisters who live in other places. God has given men in families to help protect, to help lead, by their faithful, loving, giving, eager service in order to bless their sisters. You see that? Why is Laban running to meet Abraham's servant? Because he cares for his sister, Rebekah. And you young men, I know this is, again, this is a lost idea in our culture today. Let me give you something basic that we're told the opposite about in our culture today over and over again. Boys and girls are different. Okay? Boys and girls, you're different. Right? Men and women, you're different. By God's design. Now, it's not as if you can just choose, okay, I'm really a man, but I want to be a woman. Hogwash. You're a man. You're a man because God made you a man. So what does it mean? Why did God make me a man? God made you a man so that you act like a man. Young men, God made you young men so that you act like young men. Tristan? Hey, Carl? I told you I was going to preach to you tonight again, Carl, right? Okay. William? Calvin? Andrew? God made you young men, so act like young men. What does that mean? Be strong. Care for your sisters. Protect them. If a robber's coming into your house, give you a basic illustration, a robber's coming into your house and they got a gun pointed at your sister, you jump. Don't jump away. You jump in front of your sister. You offer your life. I love the story of the Titanic. You remember that story? The saying of the Titanic, when the Titanic was sinking, was this: women and children first. That's what the men said. And the young men. Women and children first. So they sent the women and children first on the lifeboats. And it was largely the men who died. It's the opposite in our culture. But that's what it means to act like a man. That's how Jesus acted, you remember? At the cross? One of Jesus' final words. You say, that, how important is this? It's important. What was Jesus' final words from the cross? Well, one of his seven final words was to John. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Jesus' last dying words was, "John, take care of my mother. Take her home. Care for her. Provide for her. Protect her. I have to leave her." Do we have a spirit like that? That's what it means to be a man like Jesus. Well, secondly, notice, number two, the servant speaks as Abraham's ambassador. The servant speaks as Abraham's ambassador. Verses 33 through 49. And here's the largest part of this section. Verse 33, let's read. "But when food was set before him to eat, the servant says, 'I will not eat until I have told my business.' And he said, 'Speak on.' So he said, 'I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, so that he has become rich, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my mother's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Suppose the woman does not follow me.' He said to me, 'The Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you to make your journey successful, and you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives. And if they do not give her to you, then you will free me from my oath. You will be free from my oath. So I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord,'" he prays here, repeating his prayer. Remember, "'the God of my father, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw, and to whom I say, 'Please let me drink a little water from your jar,' and she will say to me, 'You drink, and I will draw for your camels also.' Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, 'Please let me drink.' She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I will water your camels also.' So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, 'Whose daughter are you?' And she said, 'The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him.' And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, let me know, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." You see what Abraham's servant is doing here? He's telling what happened. That's right. He's recounting God's providence to him. God's blessing in his kind providence to him. He's speaking as Abraham's ambassador. And look at how determined he is to speak. Verse 33, when food was set before him to eat, he said, "I won't eat till I have stated my business." And so Laban says, "Speak on." And he connects himself, he ties himself with Abraham. Verse 34, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord, he gives Abraham's condition, the Lord's greatly blessed Abraham. And then he tells what's happened. Gives him in full detail, full transparency, what's happened. Why does he do this? Well, I thought last Easter, when I told you in the early Easter service about what happened when we tried to load our first batch of pigs. You remember that? Yeah? And the first pig that I was trying to load into the trailer got out and got loose. And man, that was a headache. And I remember getting back home after that was all said and done, because loading them was hard, but unloading them was just as hard. These were stubborn pigs. And I got home, the boys and I got home that night, and we just said, "Oh my, wow, Dad, that was quite a deal." We were exhausted. Well, this past Monday, we loaded up and unloaded our second batch of pigs. And I got to tell you, it was a piece of cake. I got home after 2 hours, and man, everything went smooth. Slick as a whistle, you wouldn't believe. I mean, they went in the trailer, they went out of the trailer with a little pushing, but it wasn't too bad. I got home, you know what I did? I said to the kids, I remember sitting down at the dinner table, supper table. Some of you were there, and I just said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. A small thing like that." Well, then I got this third batch of pigs yesterday, and they weren't so easy. I think they've gotten out maybe 3 or 4 times. I was excited because I had a farmer. I was going to change pastures, and a farmer gave me this fence, and a great quality fence. Well, when I went to the auction yesterday and got the pigs, they were smaller than usual, but I had forgotten that the fence that he gave me didn't have the small slots at the bottom, but the big slots, so the pigs could just walk right out of that fence. So I got my exercise yesterday, all of us did, in catching and securing these pigs. But Lord kept us, and Lord blessed us through good times and hard times. We should be able to recount the providence of God and the goodness of God in detail, in full transparency. Tell others what God has done for you. And that's what Abraham's servant is doing. Full transparency. And this is the foundation of a good marriage too, isn't it? That's what they're laying the foundation of here. So the servant speaks as Abraham's ambassador. Notice thirdly, the family gives their parting blessing. The family, number three, gives their parting blessing. Look at verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, "The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you, bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10. Afterwards she may go." He said to them, "Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the girl and consult her wishes." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Then they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Laban and Bethuel here seem to be pretty decisive, don't they? They say, "God, this is the way God has led." It seems pretty clear. They even say God has spoken through His providence. God has clearly led that our daughter, our sister, my sister, Bethuel's daughter, Rebekah, is clearly to be Isaac's wife. The Lord has provided. The Lord has guided. The matter comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you good or bad. Here's Rebekah. But what happens? Hesitation. Hesitation. Maybe it comes from the mother. I don't know, women, I'm not picking on you. But maybe it comes from the mother. The next morning, the mother and the brother say, "Better just stay 10 days. Just linger a little while. Don't leave quite yet." The servant has asked permission. "Don't leave quite yet. Stay a few days. Let's say 10. James Boyce is helpful here. He says, 10 days will turn into 10 months, and then 10 years, and the time for service will be gone. But notice also that this arranged marriage, so to speak, does not enslave Rebekah. She has a choice. You go with this man? Will you go? And she says, "I will go." The Lord has clearly guided her as well. And she's willing to go and marry a man that she has never met. Maybe, just maybe. Now, a couple weeks ago, remember I said to you young people, you shouldn't marry a woman that you're not physically, or a man that you're not physically attracted to. But maybe I have to qualify that statement a little bit. Because just maybe, physical attraction is not the foundation of a marriage. Not the foundation of a good marriage. Not the foundation. Now, it's important, but just maybe it's not the most important thing. Because you see, Rebecca's never met Isaac. Isaac never set his eyes on Rebecca. Wait and we'll see. But they love each other. They're committed to each other. So there's hesitation here. What does the servant do? The servant's very wise. Look at, he said to them, verse 56, "Do not delay me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master." Let's be decisive here. And young people especially, let me harp on you again. Be decisive. Be decisive. There's such a thing as planning, and that's great. You plan. The prudent man plans. Please, plan ahead. But don't just plan and plan and plan and never do it. Kevin DeYoung, I think, has a great book for you young people about choosing a career, a vocation. And I love the title. It says it all. Just do something. Just do something. Don't just sit there and plan. And I know many young people, they waste years at college and thousands of dollars at college because they go from one thing to another, not sure which, should I be this or should I be that? Well, just do something. And the Lord will lead you as you're doing something. Do something legitimate. Do what you like to do. The Lord has led you to this person. It's a godly person. Godly man, godly woman. Your parents giving you counsel. Yeah, that's the Lord has blessed your relationship. It's a godly person. Others have confirmed that. Just get married. We live in a day of hesitation. And I believe many times, not always, but many times, undue delay, including in the area of marriage. People put it off! Put it off! Put it off! Then finally, the woman is maybe too old to even have children. Sad. It's sad. Marriage is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. If the Lord has guided you and the Lord has provided you, then do it. Take that vow. Take that step. It's hard. How will I know if in 10 years he'll still be handsome? How will I know if in 20 years? I think it's a country singer who says, if all your hair falls out, I'll still love you because I didn't marry you for your hair. That's the type of commitment. That's the foundation of a good marriage. A commitment. I will love you all my days. And notice the blessing that Rebekah's parents and her family, Laban included, give. In verse 60, they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." What is this? You see two things here that both point to Jesus Christ. May you have, our sister, a great seed. Who's that? The great seed, the great descendant of Rebekah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the Lord? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, He's the Savior. And you see here, they're looking for a Savior. May your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. What's that all about? That's an interesting parting blessing, marriage blessing. anybody ever said that at a reception after a wedding? Maybe we should. Because what's this about? This is victory. May your seed have victory. What's that about? That's Genesis 3:15. And the seed of the woman will crush the seed of the devil. They long for victory. And that points to Jesus Christ as well, who on the cross, when He suffered, He crushed the head of the devil. He was victorious through His suffering. So Rebekah goes. She goes with this blessing. Now, I'm sorry, I wasn't very creative in the final point. Didn't have great alliteration like Pastor Walden. But simply, number four, Isaac marries Rebekah. Isaac marries Rebekah. Let's read verses 62 through the end. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahoi Roy, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate, to think, to pray in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He is my master." Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This reminds me of the meeting. Remember, I've told you from that book, 25 Surprising Marriages, the meeting of Martin Luther when he first met his wife, Katie von Bora. Called her affectionately, "My Katie." Very interesting way they first met. Martin Luther was just beginning to preach against nunnery and celibacy. And Katie was a nun in another city. And she and her fellow nuns had escaped from the nunnery. And the only way of escape that they could find was fish barrels. Fish barrels. So they hid themselves, covers on top of the fish barrels, and they went on this wagon ride to Wittenberg. And here, Wittenberg, Martin comes out, meets the wagon driver, and he says, "I got a load for you that you wouldn't believe. Out crawl these women from these fish barrels." Katie was their leader. Imagine what she smelled like. First time they met. He loved her. He loved her. He called her, as I said, "My Katie." She was, in human terms, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. Because there are many times where Martin was, he was so depressed, he wouldn't even come down to eat. And another story that I love about them is one time he came down to eat breakfast, and she was all dressed in black, funeral attire. And she said, "Who died?" He said, "Who died?" And she said, "Well, God must have died, because you've been so depressed. You won't even come down to eat breakfast." She was a faithful wife, a loving wife. They loved each other. They were committed to each other. You see, that's what we have here. They never met each other. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. The veil, even. She places the veil over her face. A sign of... Remember, she's a virgin. She's a pure woman. A sign of their wedding. And I don't know, maybe the servant performed the ceremony. Somebody performed the ceremony. I'm sure Abraham perhaps did. There were witnesses. And he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Isn't marriage a blessing? I didn't hear any amens. Men, will you please amen, for the sake of your wife at least? Isn't marriage a blessing? This is what I want to close with. Proverbs 18:22. "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Proverbs 19:14. "House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers." Listen to this. "Houses and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Oh, so much more a blessing is a wife than a house and great riches. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. "An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels." If you have a wife, bless God. Thank God. And love that wife. Thank God for that wife. Proverbs 31 goes on, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." This wife is from God. Every gift that you have is from God. The Father of lights, who gives and gives and gives changelessly, without any shifting shadow or change. The Lord loves to give good gifts to His people. You say, "I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband." God's grace is sufficient, even in that type of thing. And the Lord, perhaps the Lord has given you the gift, a wonderful gift of singleness, so that you may give yourself to the service of others, like Laban, like Rebecca, before she's married. Or maybe the Lord one day, as you're meditating and praying, the Lord will meet your need in His time. And in His way. And when you're not planning, not expecting, the Lord brings the right girl, the right boy along the road. And He provides one for you. So plan and plan and plan. Yes, plan. Plan ahead, young people. But be decisive. When the Lord gives you a good gift, take it. Take it out of gratitude and thankfulness to Him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the wisdom that we see in Your Word. Lord, every word of the Bible is full of help for us. Help for living in this messy world. And Lord, we pray that you would give us grace. Help us to be like Christ. And especially we pray that you would bless our marriages. Help us to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.